You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to you about technology from years or decades past that you remember fondly or maybe not so fondly. From landline phones to vinyl records to modems to, well, you tell us. You can call in right now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll take your calls in a few minutes. First, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Just after Father's Day, here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about biking.
Learning to ride a bike can be a milestone in a person's life. Lately, WPR producer and local dad, Brad Kohlberg, has been thinking about when he first learned how to ride a bike, teaching his daughter to ride, and what biking has meant to his family over the years, all because of a song he recently heard.
There's a band that I've followed on and off since college called Pedro the Lion. And they released a new song a while back called Yellow Bike. It's about getting your first bike and how the world opens up when you learn to ride it. It was a blast of nostalgia for me. It made me think of my first bike, my dad helping me learn to ride, me helping my daughter, and how important bike rides have been for my family over the years.
On a desert Christmas morning, 1981.
I got my first bike on my 6th birthday. A red Murray brand with chrome handlebars and chunky black tires. A bike for popping wheelies and doing sweet jumps. I loved it.
My first two-wheel bicycle stood by the tree. My heart thumping in my chest. Though I tried, I couldn't ride one yet.
The other neighborhood kids rode their bikes around in a little pack all day, and I really wanted to join, but I was embarrassed of the training wheels. So I begged, and my dad took them off, and I ran around pushing my bike beside me, trying to keep up with them. I couldn't. During practice sessions, my dad ran alongside me, gave me a nudge and let go of the seat. I'd coast, try to pedal, crash into the neighbor's mailbox. I even ran over my little brother one day when he wandered into my path and I couldn't steer around him. Sorry, Dave.
But I remember what it was like astride my yellow bike. First freedom, second life, all the places I could ride.
A friend had a bike that was smaller than mine, and my feet could easily touch the ground when I sat on it, which made it easier to coast. I'd ease down my driveway on his bike with my feet dangling to see how far I could go. One afternoon, I put my feet up and started pedaling, and I took off. I was riding. I still feel a little sad that my dad was at work when it finally happened. Sorry, Dad. But I didn't look back. The neighborhood became infinite. A motocross track, a battlefield, a movie set. All the money I made at my first job picking sweet corn went to building better bikes for bigger jumps. And I spent every summer day riding around town with my friends until I got to high school, when it became kid stuff, like overnight. My BMX gathered dust and was forgotten. Fast forward 25 years, and I was running beside my daughter in the church parking lot up the street as she learned to ride her first bike.
Okay, you ready? One, two, three. Go, go, go!
I gave her a nudge, let go of the seat, and watched her pull away from me and turn the corner out of sight. Now she's almost 14, and my old bag of tricks doesn't really work anymore. Legos, backyard baseball, trips to the playground. But she still rides around the neighborhood with me after dinner. We talk a lot while we ride, and sometimes we keep the conversation going with some ice cream afterward. It's the greatest. So when I heard that Pedro the Lion song, you know what I did? I went out and got myself a new BMX bike, a bike for popping wheelies and doing sweet jumps. Because sometimes dads and kids aren't that different, and I feel like a kid when I ride it, with my daughter beside me. It's the greatest.
I trade my kingdom for someone to ride with.
Brad Kohlberg is a producer for WPR in Madison. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
This is Central Time. Now, we want to hear from you about technology of the past years or decades that's gone away or declined in use. Is there something that you miss or is something you're glad has gone away? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You may be asking, Rob, where's this coming from? I started thinking about this last week when I talked about an experimental car from Toyota that would simulate driving a stick shift, even though it's not a manual transmission car. Then I saw a thing where Atari was releasing a new cartridge game for the Atari 2600 for the first time in over 30 years. Plus, I keep seeing that blogs are making a comeback. Now, those stories got me thinking, what technology from the past do you miss using? What are you glad we've moved away from? Join in now at 800-642-1234. What are some relics of technology that you remember using back in the day, years or decades ago? What old technology do you wish would have stuck around? Do you like whatever replaced it? What are you happy to leave behind and why? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Now, I have a lot of these. One I think about, you know, given my job, is reel-to-reel audio tape. So I first did radio when that was in its last days. So I actually, you know, cut tape with a razor blade and taped it back together with the other kind of tape, sticky tape. That's how you edited stuff back then. I am glad, very glad that I got to do it. Given the opportunity, I would never go back to it from computer digital editing. Don't really miss doing it at all because of all the things that could go wrong. Now, we asked on the Ideas Network Facebook page, got some great examples, and we heard from some WPR colleagues. On Facebook, Joel writes, I still have my old LPs from the 60s and 70s. And we had another Facebook comment where Ed says, my favorite piece of old technology, he gave us a picture of his hand-cranked record player. Now, vinyl is one of those great examples of something that I think people thought was going to go away. But then it didn't, and now it's made a comeback. A lot of people are very happy to still have that vinyl. How about you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We asked our colleagues here about some of these technology things. Avery Lee Rogers says, I miss hip clips from the 90s. Now, that's the thing. You had it clipped on. It was like a little purse that had room for your cell phone, that fancy new cell phone you might have had. Avery says, I probably wouldn't use them today, but they're so rad. I also miss the first generation iPod Shuffle, the white stick ones. They're just great. I basically memorized, Avery says, the order of all my music so I could find the right stuff since it didn't have a screen, so fun and goofy. That's a positive memory. Jill Nadeau says, I think everybody's with her on this one. I don't miss fax machines. They were a pain to use, hard to read, and most of the faxes were junk. And Jill says, I missed the headline dimmer button that was on the floor of the car. Easier to use. What else do you do with your left foot if you aren't using a manual drive car? Let's talk to you now at 800-642-1234. Lucy is with us in Madison. Lucy, hi.
Hi. This is kind of trivial, but I wish we still had a DVD player in our car. The last two new cars we got didn't have DVD players, and I'm too old to figure out how to download music, so I just have a hard time with it.
So DVD or CD players? Are you talking music or video here?
I'm talking about CD.
Okay,
CD.
Yeah, that it's getting harder and harder to find CD players in the car. And yeah, you have to use some kind of music streaming. I don't know. And it's kind of cool to pop that CD. Did you have one of the changers? Like we had 6 or 8 CDs in the car at a time?
No, I only had what they would only play one, but I could, you know, play some music that I liked. And now I'm like too. It's like I guess I could figure it out if I worked on it, but I don't have time. I feel like I don't have time. I'm just old, and I don't know how to do this, and all the young people know how to do it, but I don't.
So what are you doing? I hope you don't have to just sit there and listen to the radio. Oh, no, wait. I hope you listen to the radio all the time, Lucy.
Yeah, well, I listen to the radio in the car a lot.
Excellent. Lucy, thanks a lot. That's a good one. Yeah, and I mean, thinking back, you've got cassette players, and we actually had a few people here at WPR mention cassette tapes. Aaron Cook says, I actually miss VHS, you know, the video ones, and cassette tapes, not for sound or picture quality, but because there's just something sort of satisfying about physically rewinding them. And making someone a mixtape or CD was super fun and a sure sign of affection. Well, how about you? What technology do you miss, or are you glad it's gone? Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you want a second one you've heard mentioned already? Is there something from your line of work that you used to use back in the day and now it's gone away, for better or worse? Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about the good, the bad, and the memorable of old technology. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What memories do you have of using technology that younger people might never have heard of? Do you remember when it was replaced? Were you excited to be done with it? What feelings do you associate with those memories? Call in at 800-642-1234. Here's a sample of a sound you may not miss. All right, we'll let it run only that far. Yes, the modem. I kind of miss it, not the sound, but the fact that you had to do something to be on the internet. Sometimes it's just too easy to get online. Let's go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. David is with us in Raymond. David, hi.
Hi, this one's going to date me. I feel like I need to disguise my voice. When I was in first grade, my dad gave me a crystal radio kit to put together, and dang it, I made a radio that worked.
That is fantastic. And I remember my dad telling me, putting it together in the barn, the crystal radio set. I mean, but it's really cool. You put a piece of cutting edge technology together, and it, I assume it worked, right, David?
It was wonderful.
Awesome. And if it's not going to date you too much, what do you remember listening to on your homemade radio?
I have no idea. It was just so thrilling to hear sound come over.
That's fantastic, David. That is a classic one. Thank you so much for sharing that. I assume there are still kits out there these days. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Lori joins us now in Oconomowoc. Lori, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to share with us?
I miss landline phones. I was probably one of the last people to get a cell phone. I like curling up on a sofa and talking on the phone. I don't like being that accessible. And I also miss IBM's electric typewriter. I put myself through college by typing doctoral theses for students. And when computers and word processors came about, you know, that job went away, which is okay. But I miss old things like that.
I gotcha. Now, Lori, with the landline phone, like if you lived with, you know, a family or other people, you know, there was always a thing like the phone rings, you don't know who it's for. Was that fun for you or confusing or what?
I loved it. I love the surprise of that. As I said, I don't think people should be so accessible. And now everyone carries a cell phone around, including myself, but I do it more for medical reasons.
Gotcha.
I don't use the internet, but anyway, I just think some of those things that have gone away for the most part, there's just a wholesomeness about them that I miss.
Lori, thank you so much for sharing that. You know, we had a landline phone growing up. The difficulty for me was my voice as a teenager was kind of similar to my dad's voice. And if, say, like a girlfriend called up and he answered and she thought it was me, there were awkward moments. I'll leave it there. There were some awkward moments with the household landline. We are taking your calls and Facebook comments about technologies of the past that you very much miss, that you don't miss at all, or maybe you have mixed feelings about. Join in at 800-642-1234. Julie joins us now in Madison. Julie, hi.
Hi. My first job was in a movie theater, and I got promoted to be a projectionist. And the thing that I miss was building the movies out of, like, the 7 reels, and they were, like, huge, 4 feet across, and just, like, taping them all together was a lot of fun.
Wow. Did you ever mess up and put the wrong reel in the wrong order so the film suddenly jumped forward, like, 20 minutes or something like that?
You know, I don't remember personally doing that, but I
feel like you'd remember that.
Seeing a film when it was out of order, and we were like, I don't think this doesn't seem right.
Great. What was your favorite movie to projectionize?
Ooh, I think Inception was a big one that I remember building, and
cool.
It was huge because it was really long. But
awesome.
Everybody loved the ending, so.
Julie, thank you so much. That's a great workplace memory. I love it. Thanks for sharing that at 800-642-1234. Erica is with us now in Lake Tomahawk. Erica, hi.
Hello there. I am mourning the end of the 13-speed transmission. I've been driving trucks since 1972. I turned 69 in a month or two, and the truck I drive has 775,000 on it, and they're getting me a new one, and it's got an automatic, and I'm like, aw, damn.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I kind of miss shifting gears in a car, but yeah, if you're shifting 13 speeds in a truck, it's got to feel like you're really driving truck then, right?
You kind of feel like you're getting somewhere anyway, and I mean, you're doing a job of work. It just, and you spend 50 years getting really good at it, and then, well, yeah. We can't find anybody to drive a 13 anymore. We got automatic. Yeah.
And I want to double check this. Did you say 775,000 miles on that one truck?
Indeed. Yeah.
Wow. Is that normal for trucks? I don't know.
Oh yeah, you can go a million. The motor's been apart once, but yeah, that's a million miles is the target.
I got to buy me one of those. That sounds great. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. We're getting your technology memories for better or worse at 800-642-1234. Laura joins us now in Beaver Dam. Laura, hi.
Hi. I wanted the woman that called about the landline. I remember when I was younger, we had our neighbors were all on the same line. There were three or four of us neighbors all on the same line. And I remember when the phone would ring and we'd pick it up and it would be for the neighbor, but then we would sit there very quietly and try to listen in on their conversation, and they would be, get off the line. And so we thought we were being all sneaky by covering up the, you know, the speaker part of the phone, but then our hand would move around and you could still hear it, you know, so, but that was my memory. I kind of missed that.
You do. So, I mean, but would you want that now for you to share a line with your neighbors?
I
guess it depends
on
the neighbors.
Yeah. That depends on what neighbors I have.
Laura, thank you so much. That's a great memory. Weird. Patrick in Wausau also wanted to bring up the party line. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Taking your comments about technology of the past, either a few years ago or a few decades ago. It's gone away. Did you miss it when you went away, or were you happy when it went away? Still time for you to join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kyle on the Ideas Network Facebook page says, I still love my N64. Best graphics anywhere. Yeah, old consoles are pretty cool. I mean, the Atari 2600 I mentioned was part of what got this conversation going. We had a couple more plugs for the landline phone. Pete says, I miss not knowing who's calling. It made you get up and answer the phone. Dee Dee says, plain old telephones are great till the invention of robocalls. Also, we heard from some more of our colleagues here. Terry Hoberg says, I miss the sound of cash registers. When I was a little girl, I was fascinated by the cha-ching sound of cash registers. I was in awe of how quickly cashiers could ring in orders with one hand while handling items with the other. But by the time Terry got to become a cashier, it was the computer stuff. So Terry lost interest. Brian Butler also brings up the old audio cassette tapes and cassette recorders. Mixtape culture was a lot more fun, Brian says, than a shared Spotify playlist. Not quite the same. Back to your calls now. Rebecca is with us in Mineral Point. Rebecca, hi.
Hello. I wanted to tell you that I'm a 70s kid, and I grew up right on the beginning of technology. And I remember when faxes became a thing, and all of a sudden, just the day before, like you could mail something and someone was fine with it taking a couple days in the mail, all of a sudden it had to be in 5 minutes. So that what I remember is the technology pushed us into something that just isn't even human scale anymore. And now you can get 10,000 faxes or 10,000 emails in a day. So I miss the pace. But I like the technology, but I miss the more human scale pace of the old day.
Interesting. Rebecca, thank you so much. That's a great perspective on that about the pace. Kate Sullivan here at WPR says, I miss having a this is a recent one. I miss having a thumbprint work as entry passcode on my iPhone. It's hard to have your face recognized, Kate says, when you're half asleep. Thumbprint just seems so easy. I never bothered, you know, I never even set up thumbprint or face. I just use my cheesy passcode. Carrie is with us now in Cronenwetter. Carrie, hi.
Hello. Well, my vote is for the landline as well. Nowadays, it's young children can't run to answer the phone anymore because the parents have the cell phones. Mm-hmm. So until they're at an age where they have their own phone, you can't make a call and have your grandchild or someone pick up the phone and talk to them. You have to go through a parent, and that whole fun of, wondering if your grandchild or child or someone is going to answer the phone is gone.
Well, it was an interesting etiquette lesson, too, teaching kids how to answer the phone, right?
Exactly.
Carrie, thank you so much. That's another great example. Probably not time for another call. Thank you for all your calls at 800-642-1234. I don't need to keep saying the number. We're done taking the calls. Thanks for all your calls about technology of the past that you miss or don't. You can keep sharing more of them, though. You can email ideas@wpr.org. You still use that piece of technology, or you could post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Love to hear from some more of you about those pieces of technology that you miss. We got a comment about an 8-track tape. One of our colleagues mentioned that too. Yeah, I don't miss those. Those were not very convenient. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, take a tour of climate hotspots around the world and what they mean for our future. We'll meet the author of the new book, A Traveler's Guide to the End of the World. Plus an update on the 2-year state budget system and what is in the works. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Wisconsin Republicans are working on legislation that would change the way reading is taught here in the state. We'll talk to an educational policy expert and a cognitive neuroscientist about what impact that bill might have. First, it's tick season in Wisconsin. According to the CDC, Wisconsin ranked 4th in the country for Lyme disease in the most recent reports. Every year, roughly 30,000 Americans are diagnosed with Lyme. That's not counting other tick-borne illnesses like tularemia and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And ticks aren't the only potentially disease-spreading bloodsuckers around. No surprise, Wisconsin, we also have mosquitoes. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How are ticks and mosquitoes in your area? Give us a field report from your latest hike or maybe your own backyard. And what would you like to know about protecting yourself from diseases carried by ticks and mosquitoes? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Lyric Bartholomew is a professor in the Department of Pathobiological Sciences at UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. Lyric, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be back.
I heard from some friends with anecdotal reports. They saw ticks out and about pretty early this year, at least according to me, it seemed early. What is our tick season here in the state?
Yeah, it really potentially can span all year round if the weather is right. So this year we had some early warming and we maybe saw some tick activity a little sooner than we would have otherwise. And it got chilly again and that kind of went away. Now we're just running right about on par with what we see most years. And we're seeing, you know, a lot of tick activity right now. So the time is just right for this conversation, Rob.
We have a few different types of ticks that show up in Wisconsin. Who are we most worried about seeing when it comes to something like Lyme disease?
Yeah, the real public health enemy number one is the black-legged tick or deer tick. That's unfortunately the tick that in this time of the year is out in a life stage or life cycle stage that's a juvenile and it's really small. So big part of the problem with the black-legged tick is that its juvenile stage is like poppy seed size. And a lot of people maybe encounter that tick when they're out and about, maybe in their backyards, like you said, or out hiking, and might not ever see it because it's just like the size of a freckle. And that's really the one that really gets us, unfortunately.
Okay, Lyme disease. I just learned today the first clinical description of that bullseye pattern that sometimes comes along with that Lyme disease tick
from
bite.
From Wisconsin.
Yep. I did that thanks to Wisconsin Watch. I just found that out. And we were at early hotspot. It was like northeastern U.S. and Wisconsin for some reason. Has that carried through the decades?
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned, the CDC has ranked us really high in the sort of number of cases that we see compared to other states in the nation. And that's related to our beautiful outdoor landscape, our forests, and our deer and our mice. So we have just the perfect storm of habitat and hosts for that particular tick that will transmit Lyme.
Let's hit some of the practical advice here, Lyric. First of all, if I want to go hiking and I don't want a tick to attach itself to me in the first place, what can I do to protect myself?
Yeah, you know what I like to think, Rob, is that we go out into beautiful places and we'll see signs that say, like, don't feed the deer and don't feed the bear. And I think we should make signs that say, don't feed the ticks. I totally agree. So we can do a few things that maybe don't feel very fashionable, but are really practical for tick prevention. We can wear long pants and long sleeves, too, and ideally kind of light colored. We can tuck our pants into our socks and prevent ticks from having entry into the cuff of our pants. They're not jumping. They're not falling off of trees onto us. They're really coming at ground level onto our bodies. So preventing that initial access is really important. And then if you've got light colored clothes on, when you get home, you can more easily detect the ticks on your clothing before they actually get on your skin. So that's helpful. I would say also, if you go out and hike with your best friend, with four legs, that you also keep those animals and pets protected from tick infestation, so that there's no chance that the animal will bring home a tick that might get onto you. I think that there's some really great repellents out there that are available. The most obvious one is one that might contain DEET and say on the label that it will protect you from ticks. So we have a bunch of those strategies. And then we really recommend that when people get home from being in an area where they might have come in contact with a tick, that they take off those clothes and get them into the washing machine and dryer, and then get themselves into a shower, use a washcloth or a loofah or something, and scrub your skin and get any ticks off of you that way. And ideally, you sort of check around on your body too, but there are parts of our bodies that, unless you have a really flexible neck, you would not be able to see. So doing the shower and washing them off might be a really good prevention measure, too.
Talking to Lyric Bartholomew with the Department of Pathobiological Sciences at the UW-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine, talking about tick season. We'll get into some mosquitoes in just a bit as well, and the illness risks those pests can carry. And you could join in with your encounters, your questions, your stories at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Ryan is with us in Stevens Point. Ryan, hi.
Hi. Hi, Rob. Love your show. Thanks for everything you do.
Thanks.
We moved into a house in Stevens Point and did not know this, but the backyard was full of deer ticks. And my wife and I both got Lyme disease the first summer we were living here. And so we kind of, and we have four kids, and so clearly we wanted to figure out how to manage this. And so we've gotten into nightly tick checks, which I actually think if you're living in Wisconsin and you like to play outside, learning to look for ticks on a regular basis is a huge way to help yourself just enjoy the outdoors and not be a victim to it. But you know, anytime you feel a little bump somewhere in your body, for me and my wife, we're always kind of like, what is this? And, you know, not panicking about it, because it can kind of, the terror of Lyme disease, everyone knows people who have had Lyme, and the terror of it can almost be worse than, you know, the disease. And depending on who you are and how much anxiety you struggle. So really learning the symptoms of it and, you know, what to look for if you do get bit, having a protocol set up. I know my brother is a pharmacist, and so understanding the antibiotic treatments that exist, you know, if you get bit within 72 hours, It's a one pill antibiotic, which I know antibiotics have a very varying opinions out there. But for me, that's a very comfortable thing. I've jokingly said I feel like they should sell that pill in vending machines in Wisconsin just to make it accessible, because sometimes it can be hard to acquire that antibiotic.
Ryan, thanks a lot for sharing your experience. A lot there, Lyric. First of all, before we get to the treatment, a really important point from Ryan. You know, I still think of like, oh, you get ticks when you go for a walk in nature. And that could be in nature. It could be your backyard. I'm seeing cities are seeing more ticks with Lyme disease as well. It's not just that walk in the woods we're worried about.
That's right. We're really starting to see a situation where, just like Ryan said, and really thank you for the call, Ryan, and for being such a great spokesperson for public health and tick-borne illness-related issues. We're absolutely seeing this phenomenon where ticks are invading people's yards. In fact, I'm up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin this week with a team of researchers from our Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease on the UW campus. And we're doing a research project on ticks in people's backyards and how to control them. And so that is increasingly becoming an issue. And so being empowered with the understanding and doing regular tick checks and just making that part of your practice so you can be outdoors in Wisconsin, because it's so important for our well-being to be outside and so important to not be living in fear of these ticks when we have ways we can intervene.
Ryan, thanks for that call. And Lyric, can you talk a little more about that part of the story, the treatments that we have for Lyme?
I can a little bit. You know, I'm a medical entomologist, right, and not an MD, but there are really, really great drugs. And if we can get those into people rapidly, it's super helpful. So as Ryan mentioned, if you're living in Wisconsin and you're in a high-risk area, which is really most of Wisconsin, where lots of ticks are infected with Lyme bacteria, and you find that tick on you and that tick is full of blood, get it off, you know, take it to your clinician, and you can get sort of a preventative dose of doxycycline, or there's a couple other antibiotics too if you're allergic to doxycycline. And then, you know, if you haven't caught it that quickly, but you know you've had a tick exposure, then within a couple of weeks, if you start to see signs and symptoms, it's great to be able to tell your doctor, like, I know I had this tick exposure on this day, and now I'm feeling like I have a headache and I've got this rash and I feel terrible. All those things are really helpful pieces of information for you to be able to share with your doctor. So you can get that same antibiotic. You'll get a longer course of it. But usually, you know, it's often doxycycline.
Thanks again for sharing that report from your backyard, Ryan. We're talking about tick and coming up mosquito-borne illnesses with Lyric Bartholomew, professor in the Department of Pathobiological Sciences at UW-Madison's School of Veterinary Medicine. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do ticks and mosquitoes impact where and when you go outdoors? If you spend a lot of time outside, around the yard, or out in nature, what are you seeing this year when it comes to mosquitoes and or ticks? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time.
Tomorrow on the morning show, a clinical psychologist surveys hundreds of Black and Hispanic teens about their social media use. We find out the extent of online racial harassment and its effects on emotional well-being and academic performance after 7.
Start your day wherever you are with WPR's new weekday morning podcast, Wisconsin Today. Hear all of the top stories from around the state in one quick listen. Subscribe to Wisconsin Today wherever you get your podcasts or at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today.
It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up the conversation on the threat of ticks and mosquitoes and the diseases they carry and how this season is looking so far with Lyric Bartholomew, UW-Madison Professor of Pathobiological Sciences. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you do to protect yourself from ticks and mosquitoes? Are you seeing a lot of them where you live, where you hike? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Ryan joins us now in La Crosse. Ryan, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I own a tick treatment company and mosquito treatment company in La Crosse called Mosquito Joe. And I've had more calls for services for ticks this time this year than all of last year combined. We've had a major outbreak in this area due to all the flooding, the warmer temperatures, and mosquitoes have been all right because it's been pretty dry over here, but early in the season it was pretty bad.
Ryan, thanks a lot for sharing that report with us. Actually, Ryan, before you go, does your business really vary a lot from year to year? Are there big years and slow years for you?
With mosquitoes, it's pretty steady because living where we do in western Wisconsin here, we have a lot of bluffs and water around the area. But ticks, this is the biggest I've ever seen in 3 years.
Interesting. Ryan, thanks a lot for that. Lyric, for both the mosquitoes and ticks, as Ryan reported, what kind of things are you seeing?
Yeah, I think exactly what Ryan has seen for mosquitoes, we're seeing across the Midwest that it's been pretty dry actually for quite an extended period of time. I think we all are feeling that in our backyards and gardens. And so are the mosquitoes. So we've had pretty low numbers of what we think of as nuisance mosquitoes, just those really pesky mosquitoes that are out sometimes during the day, some species during the day, some in the evening, that, you know, just come out in swarms and make it really impossible to be in your backyard. Those have been really kept in low numbers because it's been so dry. We are seeing some of the mosquitoes that can transmit things like West Nile and some other pathogens in northern Wisconsin. Those mosquitoes are running about average. So there's still some risk associated with mosquito-borne disease, but the really oppressively bad mosquitoes have, what I'm hearing from across Illinois and Iowa and Minnesota, those numbers have been pretty low.
Ryan, thanks again for that call. Lyric, before I go back to our callers, you know, I hear from time to time there's a concern that climate change could mean that, you know, insect-borne illnesses, tick-borne illnesses that we don't have in Wisconsin so much could migrate northward. Is that something we're seeing or concerned about?
Yeah, indeed. That's something that we've been studying as the Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease again. We were tracking the invasion of a mosquito called Aedes albopictus, which is a really nasty daytime biter and also a mosquito that can transmit all kinds of different things, including Zika virus. And we did find that mosquito in parts of southern Wisconsin. It seems like that it's probably not a really persistent issue, but just south of us in Illinois, that mosquito is becoming progressively more and more expanded northward. We're also experiencing, you know, a situation where the Lone Star tick that people are starting to hear about more may progressively creep northward as the habitat becomes more accessible with warmer temperatures. So it is indeed a concern.
Let's go back to our callers now. Vivian is with us in Green Bay. Hi, Vivian.
Hi. For those folks who have a cabin in the woods or like me who mushroom forage in April, get used to white. White linens on your bed, white walls in the cabin. If you have a dog, put a white sheet on the car seat on your way home. I've seen ticks crawling up a white wall. I gave up the cute sheets a long time ago so I would see ticks in the bed. It helps. They stand out if you've got a real light background.
Interesting, Vivian. Thanks a lot for sharing that advice. What do you think, Lyric?
Yeah, thanks, Vivian. That's exactly the kind of thought process behind wearing light colored clothing when you're out in the woods too, so you can really see them. And I'll just tell you that in my lab, for example, we raise all kinds of mosquitoes, thousands and thousands of mosquitoes. And some of our spaces are entirely white walled and have white cabinets and white countertops for that reason too. So we can see the mosquitoes in that case. It does really help.
Thanks again for that call. Christina joins us now in Glenwood. Christina, hi.
Hi there. Thank you. I live on a 50-acre farm, and my husband planned to work on the fence, so the night before to prep it, he mowed all that area. And then the next day when he went out to work on the fence, he was out there about 2 hours and came in, checked for ticks. He had 16 on him. And the strange thing that he mentioned, and I don't know if this is to be expected, but he said each of those little bite areas, itch.
Hmm.
And then the other thing with respect to mosquitoes, we are now seeing mosquitoes biting during the day, which is very unusual. So those are my two tick and mosquito.
Christina, thanks a lot for that call. And that reminds me, we had a follow-up question from Doug in Sanger, who asked if we can go through the proper tick removal procedure. I'm hoping Christina's husband for those 16 ticks did this. What do we do when we remove that tick, Lyric?
Yeah, it's really important when you have a tick on you to follow really strict guidelines from, I like the ones from the Centers for Disease Control, but you can find them on the websites of any Department of Public Health website where there's lots of ticks. But the best thing is to have a really sharp tweezers that you can use to get really close to your skin on the head of the tick and grab on there, right where the skin and the tick meet, and slowly and deliberately pull the tick out. Sometimes we hear people say that they'll use Vaseline to cover the tick, or that they'll use toothpaste, or that they'll, the worst is to take a match to the tick and try and burn it out. You know, those things may work to get the tick to back out of you, but it could also be that you cause the tick to sort of purge its contents into your skin. So it could increase the chances that you get a tick-borne illness as a result. And also you could hurt yourself. So using a sharp tweezers is really the best way to go. Hopefully that helps.
And also our caller mentioned noticing mosquitoes biting more during the day. Do we have different types of mosquitoes who might be more active during the day versus twilight?
We do, and it depends just on how hungry they are and whether there are other things around for them to feed on. There are certainly species in Wisconsin that are native to Wisconsin that are daytime feeders. We actually have a 50 plus different species of mosquito in the state. So, you know, this has been a really weird year. It could be that because it's been so dry, maybe there's some other things that the mosquitoes would normally be feeding on that just aren't around. But you know, if you think there's any chance that you have Aedes albopictus in your yard, Christina, we'd be really interested to come and check that out. So if you can get one of those mosquitoes and take a picture of it and send it to us, we'll be keen to understand if there's something different going on in your backyard.
Thanks, Christina, for sharing that. Matt is with us now in Waukesha. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you? Hey, I don't know if anybody talked about permethrin. I love this stuff. I've been a hunter for about 50, 55 years. I'm turkey hunt. I sit in the grass, everything. When I put this stuff on my clothing, I never, ever see a tick. I've never had Lyme disease. I've never had a tick on me. I think it's the greatest stuff in the world. And for dogs, I've used the topical treatment on the dogs. In my opinion, it doesn't work. What I found really works is that some Simparica Trio, that it's the dog swallows it. They don't even attach to them. They don't even like them. They seem to run from them.
Matt, thanks for the call. Permethrin and other repellents. Lyric, do you have a favorite for ticks or to prevent ticks?
Oh, this is great. I am so glad you brought this up, Matt, because the permethrin is a really important part of our general procedures in the lab for protecting people from ticks. And the nice thing about it is you don't have to put anything on your skin. You put it on your clothes. You can actually wash your clothes repeatedly with this stuff, and it will stay with your clothes. You could buy clothes that are already treated and protect yourself that way. So, you know, it's a repellent, and it would kill any tick that comes into contact with you. So that is, it's a really great insecticide that works really, really well. And there are some great products out there now for dogs. I agree. So there's the collars too. I've had pretty good luck with my dogs and using flea and tick collars, but I like the oral things like NexGard for also keeping your dog tick free.
Thanks a lot for that call. And just our last half a minute, Lyric, can you leave us with a little message, a little encouragement to enjoy the outdoors tick free?
Yeah, I really think that our well-being depends on being outside and forest bathing and enjoying Wisconsin outdoors. So just do it safely and don't feed the ticks and don't feed the mosquitoes.
Lyric, thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Lyric Bartholomew, professor at UW-Madison's Department of Pathobiological Sciences at the veterinary school there, talking about this summer's tick and mosquito season. Coming up after the news, a cognitive neuroscientist and an education policy professor join us to look at proposed legislation that would change how reading is taught to Wisconsin students. We'll find out what would be different, what it could mean for teachers and schools. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.